It's a Mesereau Monday here on WGN. John Hanson with Greg Lunsford, one of the OG Mesereau people, to come on in the studio. Greg, it's good to see you again,
my friend. Good to see you, John, and Happy New Year.
You too. You are a wealth advisor over at Mesereau. Oh, I know you're not. You're a managing director. I don't want to shortchange you, my friend.
They are both correct.
Yes. Okay. There we go. But that's a good title. And you and I have talked so much. I call you like Dr. Retirement. You seem to have worked out of so many different angles. And I also like how you really focus on relationships as it pertains to your wealth and what you want to do with it, whether it's two couples talking together or generations chatting with each other. That's something that you, I think, do that no one else has done when they come in here, is really look at the relationships. And that's what we're going to focus on today, but the relationship between spouses, right?
Correct, or partners. So thank you once again for giving me this opportunity to have a conversation with you. I like to get the word out on this stuff. You know, a lot of times we start thinking about, or we focus on the numbers, the X's and O's mm-hmm. of financials and the balance sheet and all, and that is very important. But at the end of the day, we put all that together because money has a purpose and it's unique to all of us, right? And so one person may say, I want money because I want financial security. The other person will say, I want money simply because I want to have all of these things done, see the world, be on every continent, and spend my last dollar as I take my last breath. And so I feel it's important to talk about relationships, because in the relationships is where the discussion goes, what's important to you? What are our values around here? And then you start drawing up the X's and O's around the values inside that relationship. And so just like anything else, like any other business, there are things that are strengthnesses and there are things that are threats to a relationship financially. And it's important to talk about, because the number one cause for relationship separation is financial stress.
Mm-hmm. It's honest conversations that need to happen. So you perfectly time it out with Valentine's Day. Not that that needs to be what you do on Valentine's Day, but maybe that's you circle that one on the calendar and say, sometime in February,
correct,
sit down and actually talk about not how much we have. That's an important conversation too. But what we want to do with it, what do we envision it? Why do we have this money, or what are we going to do with it?
Exactly right. And February, I don't want to ruin anyone's Valentine's Day. If anything, I want to help you develop some tools to make the relationship stronger.
Mm-hmm.
I think February is a good time to have this chat, right? Because you're just gotten over your holiday hangover, your credit card bill came, and you committed to the New Year's resolution, or you let it go,
right?
And here's a good time to just to reset and say, okay, let's sit down and talk about some things, and now we can do it with a clearer head and understanding what we're working with.
I guess that conversation looks different based on how old or how the couple is. Every couple's different. So if you're a couple that's just starting out, I imagine it's conversations about work, about kids, about colleges, about that sort of stuff, right?
Yeah, and it's all of the above. It doesn't go away. I mean, I've had couples that have done very well financially, and in the final stages, they're fighting simply because now it's time to start talking about what are you going to do with what you've amassed. And oftentimes, we're going to leave an inheritance for the people we love, and they can't see eye to eye on how they're going to distribute that.
So legacy planning can really be a sticking point.
It can be very stressful. I've dealt with couples where one came from humble beginnings and the other one came from great resources, and they just couldn't see eye to eye. When one would say, I pull myself up by my bootstrap, that's what our kids are going to do. And the other one goes, well, you know what? I want to spoil everyone. That's what this is for. And you would think that would be an easy conversation, but it triggers a lot of stress, anxiety, and sometimes can be a little bit venomous.
I imagine the stress and anxiety can come for when if you have kids, looking at, you know, kids and what they're going to have, the grandkids. Maybe your kids have had multiple marriages. Maybe you've had multiple marriages. Like, there's a lot of complexities to where the money goes.
All of the above. And, you know, there is something that has proven out, regardless of where you are on the globe, from every culture, every society. And you may have heard someone say the phrase, the third generation rule ruins the house. Basically, what it means is the first generation, they worked their way up to a better economic situation.
Mm-hmm.
The second generation, well, they were watching their parents go through the struggle and the strife to build that. So they have some appreciation, and maybe they participated in some of the building also. So if it was a family-owned business, they were sweeping floors when they were 12. So they have some appreciation. The third generation, it's not uncommon for it to take the family back into an impoverished situation simply because although you're passing the financial resources, if the values around why you did what you did and how hard it was for you to do it aren't passed with the dollars, you get this negative outcome. And so these conversations can be hard at multiple stages, not just the accumulation stage, but the transfer stage can be just as difficult as the accumulation because people have concerns about the third generation ruining the house.
Yeah, it's interesting you talk about that. I'm wondering if I'm second or third because my family has been here for a long, long time. It's not like it's an immigration story of generations, but I do think about my parents being the first of their cohorts of their family to go to college. So maybe I'm second generation. So then David better not mess it up for third generation. But I guess that and we could move. We could have a whole show about the generations discussion, but that's an interesting part of it. What about the idea of conversations about what happens if depending on who goes first? I hate to say that, but that needs to be something that's talked about, right?
It is something we need to talk about, and we've talked about caregiving before. We've talked about how we have a lot of situations where people are forced into being the caregiver. Over half of caregivers never anticipate being a caregiver. It just one day they wake up and someone's sick, and I have a moral obligation to this person I love, and that's going to come at some expense to me, whether it's going to be my time or I got to chip in some financial resources, things like that. So we tend to think about caregiving, vertically.
Like our parents.
You got to take care of your parents. You got to take care of your kids.
Yeah.
I don't know if we spend as much time thinking about it horizontally about what if a spouse or a partner got sick, right? And sometimes what happens, unfortunately, and I think about one of the saddest things that I've ever encountered. I had a great client, and she goes, you know what? My friend just lost her husband. I'm going to send her to you. They had a very good business. Her husband took care of all the finances, and she needs someone to help her now because she was never that engaged. And the lovely lady came over to my office, and we met, and she says, you know what? I didn't want to tell my friend. I don't want any of my friends to know, but I come to find out that the businesses hadn't done well in a long time, and I have nothing. And can you point me to someone that can help me file for public assistance?
Oh, my goodness.
Right? So I think we need to look at this thing vertically. One, it goes back to our initial conversation about do couples communicate with each other? And it's basically communicating of what are you bringing to the table? What am I bringing to the table? Are we still on track? Those kinds of things. But even if you have that clear communication, if you have not put strategies in place to provide safety nets for you, what happens if the first spouse or the first partner has a really serious illness that drains you financially? Mm-hmm. And so they die and they leave the second one impoverished. So this is where it's very important to talk about things like long-term care insurance.
I was just going to say long-term care insurance.
That's exactly right. So long-term
life insurance.
Life insurance, exactly right. So long-term care insurance is for to provide for your care in case you are in case you're disabled or can't perform two activities of daily living and you're going to need skilled nursing. A lot of people think that that's covered under Medicare, but that's not covered under Medicare. Medicare covers hospitalization, but it doesn't take care of skilled nursing. And so that's one. And if you get to the point where, you know, financially the premium just doesn't make sense, at the very least, have some life insurance so that you replenish what was taken out of the estate for the medical care.
Yeah, even if it's, I mean, it could be whole life insurance, that's an option, or even term insurance to get you to the point where now the retirement accounts are accessible and open and able to be used without the penalties. It's about thinking about those deadlines and the tax preparations. I mean, it really needs to be a holistic look at what happens if I'm gone.
Correct.
What happens if you're gone? What happens if one of us is sick, you have to care for me, you can't work during you taking care of me? I mean, these are hard conversations to have, and
absolutely,
God willing, you don't have to have them or use them eventually, but they have to happen, these conversations.
Well, they're especially hard to have, and they're getting harder to have when you start talking about people going to unions at later ages. And so there's more independence. And so, like, I made this money myself. So mm-hmm. why should I have to talk to you about it? You know, so
like getting married in your 30s and 40s.
That's
exactly
exactly right. And people are thinking about, you know, what's in the bank account at the time. They're not thinking about long term how to protect the other partner if something comes along.
Or second marriages,
people. Second marriages and blended families. Right. So, you know, I thought your sister was going to help me, but
it didn't turn out that way.
Right.
Right.
You know, I thought the children were going to help you, but it didn't turn out that way. Right. So we have to have these conversations about what happens and how do we protect against this partner to partner.